Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Jim McGovern, I love talking to you because you have always sort of personified much of the things that I believe in personally. How did you come to that? What was your family like? Who taught you the kinds of sensitivities you have?
Well, you know, I mean, my parents owned a package store in Worcester when I grew up, and but they were Democrats, and you know, they had a very strong sense of, you know, making sure that we understood what was right and what was wrong, and that we had an obligation to help people who were less fortunate, who were struggling, you know, be they neighbors or people we didn't know. And you know, when I was in college, I worked my way through college working for George McGovern, who was no relation, but one of my kind of idols. And I learned a lot from him, and I learned a lot from Joe Moakley when I worked for him as well, about the importance of public service and about the great joy you can get out of helping people. And, you know, and I, you know, I look at it, my family had a profound impact on me. Some teachers I had over the years, as well as, you know, McGovern and Moakley had an impact on me. I used to have a history teacher that used to say, you know, the world will not get better on its own. And I think of those words all the time. I mean, nothing changes for the better. Nothing good happens unless like-minded people come together and fight for that change. And so, know, I think all those things combined, you know, have kind of resulted in what you see now.
Where did you go to college?
I went to American University in Washington, D.C., and got a bachelor's degree in history and a master's degree in public administration. I thought history was a good major because I think it's important that people, especially in government, have a sense of history, and I wish more people did. You know, I enjoyed my life at American University, and it, you know, again, it gave me the opportunity to work for George McGovern while I was in school here in Washington.
We share that. I did an MA at American, and I was on the Washington semester program back then.
It was a great school. It's harder to get into now than when I got in.
I know, but we don't talk about that because, you know, we want all the credit for having gone to a great school and having gotten in and all of that. Talk to me about, if you will, about the NSA and how invasive it is into our personal lives.
Yeah, look, I think it was Daniel Patrick Moynihan who once coined the phrase, democracy requires courage. And I believe in that. I mean, one of the things that's unique about our system is that we're not supposed to be watched every second of the day and under surveillance constantly. And yet, the more and more I learn about these NSA programs, the more and more intrusive I realize that these agencies have gotten. You know, I voted against the Patriot Act. I voted against the Patriot II Act because I do think that if someone was going to be put under surveillance, that there ought to be a judge that, you know, kind of validates that there's due cause to wiretap me or to look at my emails. You know, I'm getting to be like former President Jimmy Carter, who says that, if he wants to get a message to somebody nowadays, he writes a letter and puts it in the mailbox and, you know, and sends it through the post office because that way he could be assured it won't be read. And but I think we've gone way overboard, and people who have supported these kind of expansive powers for our national security agencies, you know, have used the fear of 9/11 and potential terrorist attacks as a way to kind of keep on expanding that intrusive power, and I think it's un-American. I really do. I think it's beyond what we should be doing, and it's not necessary, and there are better ways to do it.
Won't security, the need for security in any country, always trump civil liberties?
Well, it does, but you know, there needs to be a balance, and people need to know, quite frankly, you know, what their government's doing. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, say what you want about Edwin Snowden, but, I mean, we wouldn't be having a lot of these discussions if it weren't for the revelations that he made. And that bothers me, too, that we have this kind of expansive surveillance program and nobody really knew about it. And you know, and you know, look, I'm in the Congress, and you know, I don't recall ever being briefed or told about any of this. I do recall during the debate on the Patriot Act when George Bush was president, raising some of these issues and being told, "Oh no, 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 you're just being an alarmist." And you know, we learned about Snowden's revelations and others. You realize that you know, that if anything, that my fears were were toned down back then. That things are actually were things expanded a lot more than I even thought they would. And look, I think there ought to be a balance, and people ought to know what their government is doing, and they ought to know, you know, they ought to have the right not to have to be put under surveillance. I mean, I think right to privacy is a big issue for me.
Let me start very quickly with the rich get richer. The rich tend to buy elections. Governors in our state, in where I'm speaking to you from now, in New York, right over the border, I live in Massachusetts, but, you know, they collect enormous amounts of money to run, in this case, $45 million, something like that. It's crazy. And there's no turning back. I mean, the courts have said this is the way we're going.
Well, the only way to turn back, and I hope that we can turn back, because I think for the sake of our country, we need to find a way to get money out of politics, is through a new Supreme Court that will revisit some of these campaign finance issues and rule a different way, or through amending the Constitution. But the fact is that, you know, it's ridiculous that you have to raise the kind of money you have to raise to run for Congress or to run for a governorship or to run for a United States Senate or president. I mean, it's crazy.
How do you do it?
Yeah,
do you get on the phones with people and say?
I do, and I'm not really good at it. And I do it. I do kind of what I have to do. And you know, I take great pride in the fact that a lot of my donors are, you know, are individual givers who give in, you know, relatively modest increments. And so I take great pride in that. But look, I mean, I've got to raise money because I don't know who's going to come after me. And with, you know, the Citizens United case, I don't know whether there'll be a you know, an independent expenditures campaign against me. On top of that, you know, the Democratic leadership, like the Republican leadership, expect all of us to raise money and give it to, you know, the congressional campaign committees to help our colleagues and like-minded people get elected. So it's the thing I hate the most about this job, because I don't like asking people for money. I just I don't feel good about it. But I also don't believe in unilateral disarmament either, you know. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, if I didn't raise any money and somebody ran against me and raised money to be on the airwaves, I would probably get defeated. Because so many people, you know, get their news from, you know, TV or radio, and you know, and these, unfortunately, these negative campaigns seem to actually work. And if you don't respond to them, you know, then they could end up unseating you. So, but it's just not right. I mean, people should want their elected officials to spend less time raising money and more time listening or reading or going to events with their constituents, and instead, you know, to run for Congress, you have to raise millions. And I mean, we had a race in Florida last time was 17 million. Each one candidate raised 17 million apiece. You know, the Elizabeth Warren Scott Brown race was like 45 million apiece. I mean, this can't be good for our democracy, and it could only be good for those big money special interests, you know, that really want something that may not be in the interest of the general public.
No wonder I love having you on the program so much, Jim McGovern. Thanks so much for being with us. Jim McGovern, Massachusetts 2nd District Democrat, in office since 1997. Can't wait till the next time we get together, Jim.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you.